Well, good morning. It is good to see all of you. Welcome to Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church on this June 12th as we worship together. Grateful that the air conditioning is working again in the sanctuary. So many thanks to those on the property committee who labored to make that come together this week. Many thanks to all of you. The property committee rallied to come out here yesterday, and a lot of cleaning was done in the sanctuary all around this building. Impressive amount of work actually was accomplished in a short amount of time. So thank you to each who were able to make it out for that. A couple notes on the front end of pastoral care, and then I want to highlight a couple things in our bulletin. Jed Wilson is at St. Mary's. He had a stroke on Friday, and he's doing okay today, but his son Paul did ask that let the congregation know, and let's be in prayer for Jed, one of our dear longtime members, again, at St. Mary's right now. And then also, in incredibly great news, many of us have been praying for Caleb Gibson for just a number of months now with his cancer. And he, at 4 years old, now is in remission. And it's just an incredible thing. We've been praying week in and week out, so many different teams and worship, and just so grateful for that incredible news regarding Caleb Gibson. Y'all have your bulletins, a lot going on, even though it's summertime. Next, coming up in this next week, starts really tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, First Presbyterian Church. All are invited to the annual risk celebration. We're going to celebrate some of the accomplishments of God's justice being done in our city.
Welcome to the live broadcast of A Service for the Worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia.
Sid Yates' house on the river, and there are more details in your bulletin. We'd love to see you there on Saturday. And before you go out to the river house, you can serve at Shalom Farms. It's our third Saturday outing to Shalom Farms happening next week as well, and you can see the details there. A couple of unique opportunities this summer. We're doing a book club, and any and all are invited to join in reading the book. It's called Gilead. It's by Marilyn Robinson. I've got a copy right up here. There's about 10 copies down the hallway just outside the social room. And for $9, you can purchase one today here, or you can buy this online. And you can see in your bulletin, in late July, we've got a couple different book discussion opportunities, and would love to be involved in that with each of you. Oh, I misspoke. Here I am talking away. The people group is next Saturday. It's at Sid Yates' house here in town, not the river. Don't drive all the way there because I said something wrong. Here, stay here next Saturday. And then I'm going to talk more about this just before the sermon, but hopefully you all have your Back to the Basics bookmarks. Those are yours to keep in your bulletin, and that's going to relate to a lot of what we do this summer in worship and even in Sunday school. So hang on to that. More to come just before the sermon. I invite you to stand wherever you are and greet some of the folks around you. In your seats once more as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship the living God.
Thank you. please stand and join in the call of worship. The voice of the Lord flashes flames of fire. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The Lord sits enthroned as sovereign forever. In God's congregation, all say glory.
Once again, welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church at 1627 Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. This is the 93rd year of radio ministry at Grace Covenant, and today's broadcast is number 4,793. The Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert is our pastor. This morning's sermon, entitled, It's About God, will be delivered by the Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert. And assisting in the service today are member Martha Reagan and Chris Martin, Director of Music and Organist. Our church is handicapped accessible with an elevator, wheelchairs, hearing assistance, and large print bulletins and hymnals. Childcare is provided for infants, toddlers, and kindergartners. Worship kits are available for older children at the entrance to the sanctuary. Our opening hymn is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is number 11 in the hymn book.
Join together in a prayer of confession. Holy God, we confess that we've often put ourselves before you. Your word declares that your glory is all around us, but in our hurry, we do not see. We are more attentive to our everyday anxieties than we are to you. Rather than lift our souls to you, with the news, our selfish thoughts, and our priorities frame our hearts and minds. Forgive us. Slow us to consider your glory and hear your word. Draw us into renewed wonder and love for you and your way. Hear our prayers of confession. Fill our hearts with the glory of being forgiven. Fill our days with response to that glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, open our hearts to hear. Open our minds to remember. And open our beings to act for you. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning coal, which he had taken from tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin forgiven." This is the name of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Testament reading from Luke chapter 5 verses 1 through 11. Let me just give a brief overview of some of what's going on this summer. We're doing a Back to the Basics series, and it's influencing how we do Sunday school and worship. Sunday school, if you're here at 9:45 a.m. in the fellowship hall, it's all combined classes, and we're going back to the basics and exploring some of the essential tenets of the Reformed faith. What is it that undergirds our understanding as Christians who are, in particular, Presbyterians, who are shaped by Reformed theology? And we're just walking through the summer and exploring and digging back in those basic tenets. And then here in worship, we're also going back to the basics in that each Sunday this summer, we're looking at a different scripture that is somehow foundational to the promises of God in Jesus Christ. All of Scripture is important and God-breathed, but some Scriptures just say with such beauty and clarity, what is the promise of God in Jesus Christ? What are we about as a church, as a people? And so we're looking at 12 of those most basic, fundamental Scriptures this summer, And actually, accompanying that, we're inviting you to memorize those scriptures. It's a little bit of a spiritual challenge, if you will, and you'll see in your bulletin towards the back, you can find the scripture that will be preached on next Sunday. It's Isaiah 55, 1 through 5. It's already printed in your bulletin right there for you. And as a spiritual discipline, you can take that with you this week and memorize it, internalize it, not just so you kind of get all the words, but so that your heart can marinate in this promise. It's one of those foundational scripture. And what a thing when our souls are shaped by some of the most foundational scriptures. And so you're invited into that exercise this summer. It's 1 week at a time. Tried not to pick too many verses at a time. But the first go-around is coming up for next Sunday, Isaiah 55, 1 through 5. You're invited to see what God does as you work through that. Accompanying all of that, just for fun in some ways, is this bookmark, 50 Scriptures, one bookmark. You see that in your bulletin. And this actually was originally put together by Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. 50 Scriptures, you know, that they say you should really have on hand. We're going to do 12 this summer. Well, they're saying there's about 50 you could name that are just essential and special in different ways. You can read the story about what they ended up doing with all these bookmarks back in 2001 when they made them. But this is not a replica. We designed our own bookmark, but those are the scriptures they chose. And then we have highlighted in blue the 12 that we're looking at for this summer. And so do hope that you'll be able to take that. And if you end up not getting one, losing it, needing another one, there's some extras in the social room in the narthex. We go back to the basics. Our scripture we heard from Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, which is what I will preach on, and paired with that is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked them to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he was finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that had been taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. My freshman and sophomore years of college, there was a group that would go stargazing every Sunday night around 10 o'clock. They'd stop whatever they were doing, they'd get in their cars, and they'd drive out to a remote part of the nearby Lake Norman. And they'd lie on the green grass there, and they'd look at stars. They'd chat, and they would laugh. They'd sometimes grow silent, they'd sometimes grow loud. But largely, they just kept staring at the sky. The best nights were the nights where you had all the stars, and then you also got the full moon. I was friends with a core of this group, so I was always invited, but most of the time I responded in a way I can still hear myself saying, "I can't, too busy, have to finish my work," because there was always some pressing assignment or another that was due Monday or that week. I would usually spend Sunday evening hunched over my desk trying to diffuse all of my anxiety by knocking out the to-do list of assignments. Occasionally, though, someone was extra persistent. I would relent, and I would go. And I would marvel at how big the world is. Pressed against that tiny spot of grass in that remote lakeside area, I could feel the weight of my smallness. You've done this, I'm sure. I would think of all the people under it, all the things, the good and the bad going on, the people in the plains that were up there, and why were they up there, and what was their story, and why were they headed where they might be heading. And then I would think of all the thousands of years that it had taken for this light to come in such a manner that I could now finally see it. It slows your breath. It shakes you from yourself. There's so much more than me. Isaiah 6, you heard Martha read, is a passage that has God's prophet Isaiah flat on his back looking up in this moment of total disorientation and reorientation. But Isaiah, he did not choose to look up so much as he had to look up. Isaiah 6, you heard it begins, "In the year King Uzziah died." King Uzziah was a very successful, faithful king of Judah for 52 years, built up the military and the nation. His later years, his pride would be his undoing, but his legacy was one of strength and stability for the nation. And it was in the monumental year that the one who held together 5+ years of stability died. It's the kind of year you don't want, you don't plan for, but it's a date that then gets etched in your memory. In the year I lost my home, in the year I was forced to move to a new land, in the year when terrorism struck the towers, in the year of my child's death, my parents' death, in the year I was diagnosed, and the year King Uzziah died. And what happens in such a year to Isaiah? He sees God. Death and any variety has a way of pinning our backs to the ground, and finally we look up because honestly, there is nowhere else to look. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and seraphim, these fiery angelic beings with 6 wings are surrounding God and singing of God's holiness. All this is complemented by thresholds shaking and smoke filling the air, sight, smell, sound. In fact, 4 out of the 8 verses of our scripture in this call narrative of Isaiah are devoted to depicting this grandeur and wonder and otherness of God. Unless we think this is just the God of Israel, the one whose robe fills the temple and shows that this God is Lord of the people of Israel, we hear the seraphim declaring that God has this glory in all the earth. This is a big God over all the sky and all that is below. So when we talk about going back to the basics of the Christian faith and what we believe and what we do as Christians, the first thing that we name about our faith is that it's all about God. This God of the universe is the starting point. As Proverbs states, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or fear meaning awe. The awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We start with God. Now that may sound so simple, too basic. But of course, it's the opposite of how we're naturally inclined to find wisdom and life. We're far more inclined to start with ourselves. What are my concerns? What are my anxieties? What are my opportunities? What do I need to get done today? What about this financial concern? What about tomorrow? I am so busy. What as a church do we need to be doing? What should we be prioritizing? Many of these concerns are legitimate. Questions need to be asked, but they're not the starting point. The starting point for framing our lives and what matters, our theology, our way of being and thinking and doing, what busyness we should actually be doing and what shouldn't, the starting point is God. Now, God has a lot of practical, important things for Isaiah to do. He's got an assignment. He's got to preach to a specific people in a specific way. Details don't come first. First, Isaiah is thrown upon his back in awe of God. Now, we may not have often an intense Isaiah experience of being thrown from our normal rhythms and looking into the full holiness and love of God. Maybe you've been given the gift of such moments. But the truth is, weekly worship is meant to throw us from the center of our own lives and allow God to get back to the center. I mean, weekly worship is meant to be no less than an utter disorienting and reorienting of our souls. We're meant to be thrown from whatever issues have us bent over and, in, and brought into a place where we can just stand before the living God. The issues matter. God has work for us to do, but first our hearts need to know the awe of the Lord and be centered there, the heart of the Lord, and centered there. And so worship draws us to look Godward. Let our reality be shaped by God's vast and deep perspective. One of the great gifts of a church with a sanctuary like this, its grandeur facilitates our ability to God gaze. And what happens when you start to see God more clearly? Woe is me, Isaiah cries. I'm lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm living among a people of unclean lips. Yet somehow my eyes have seen the Lord. The pure beauty is convicting. One of those few stargazing nights I actually attended, I inevitably would face this moment in the conversation or in the silence of it all where I would start to shake my head at myself. Why do you lose sight of what is important? Can't you see what's important? It's these relationships God has given you that are around you. It's God who's running this universe. It's God's heart who cares for this city and the people surrounding the college campus. Why do you get sucked in this performance-based anxiety? Does not God tend to every tree and bird and star and do a remarkably beautiful job at it? Won't God take care of me like this stunning creation that surrounds me? When we stare into the beauty and holiness of God, when we stare into the great expanse of this sanctuary, we are drawn into a place of conviction. My gosh, how small are my concerns. My gosh, how myopic is my lens. My gosh, I am so busy and caring about all these things and holding a grudge about this and that has nothing to do with the great heart of God for this world. The reason we are wise not to miss Sunday worship is not so that we can keep up friendships or we signed up to bring the coffee and the cookies and all the rest. The most fundamental reason is that we know ourselves too well. We do get hunched over. We do get myopic. We do respond as I used to. I can't. I'm too busy. Look at my work. And we do need to then be pulled Godward to know a new freedom and awe. A recentering that takes us out of the center. Perhaps you're starting to notice the flow of our passage in Isaiah might feel familiar. It's where we get the basic flow of a Sunday worship service, and the people of God have for thousands of years. We begin with a prelude, a call to worship, a hymn of praise, centers us fully on the person of God, and then we move into confession. Woe is me. And then because ours is an abundantly merciful God, we move into the assurance of pardon. Then one of the seraphs flew to me holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, your sin is blotted out." We see this great and holy God drawing near, touching the lips of Isaiah with a live coal, the heat of fire. Ultimately, Christians declare that God drew most fundamentally near to humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. He came our way. He walked among us. He took upon our sin. He blotted it out on the cross, the final coal upon which the fires of sin and death are quenched. You're catching the rhythm of the passage. Call to worship, confession, assurance of pardon, and then God's word, right? Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" It's God's word now speaking. And it's only a rhetorical question because once someone's encountered the living God and had their world disoriented and reoriented, there's a sense in which you can't but help but respond in the affirmative. And so Isaiah, he says, "Here I am, send me," right? The sending portion of worship. We're sent out every week. Isaiah, he's not just volunteering for a few hours that are convenient for his schedule. He's throwing himself fully upon God's call, centering himself on the wonder and the holiness and the love and the justice of God's way. He's been disoriented and reoriented to what matters. And finally, he's at a spot. Here I am. Send me. 3 weeks ago, the New York Times had a piece authored by a couple professors entitled, Why Do We Experience Awe? And in it, they talk about this recent research they've been doing over the last decades, and it confirmed what many have intuited, many have claimed for some time, and that is that experiences of awe shift our focus from self to others. When we experience awe, and that can come in so many varieties, we are more naturally inclined to start thinking of others. Awe and altruism go hand in hand. They saw it in study after study they've been doing. Why? And this they can only conjecture. They say one answer is that awe imbues people with a different sense of themselves, one that is smaller, more humble, and part of something larger. Awe brings perspective. You become smaller, and that's a good thing. What John the Baptist pray? He must become greater, I must become less. So the professors, they go on to explain how they fear that we in this society live in what they call an awe-starved society. We're bent over our phones, we're working nights and weekends, we're trying to keep up with the demands of children or grandchildren and their schedules. We eat fast, we play fast, we click fast, we skim fast. And amid all that, sometimes King Uzziah dies, and it throws us from our myopia. And we finally look up again because we have to. But in years when King Uzziah does not die, we are nevertheless called to remain attentive in our awe of the living God. And so from Sunday to Sunday, the God of the universe calls us together to worship and God gaze on the very heart of God and what God cares about. It's as basic as it gets. And then in between Sundays, we do devotionals, we serve alongside others, we walk this city, and we walk along the river, we slow to enjoy a meal with friends, we visit a homebound person, we simply slow enough to breathe and notice. And we do it all because in these many ways, we seek to remain attentive to the living and active God whose love and holiness are deeper than the stars and nearer than a kiss. And sure, God has specific things to do for us, specific ways we're to go about our lives. We're going to talk about that in coming weeks. But first awe, first light and holiness and love. First, we center ourselves on the heart of God, who is Jesus Christ. From there, right, every week in worship flows confession, assurance, and ascending into the world that we ourselves might be light, like moon reflecting the light of the sun. And when the whole church is gathered in awe before the very heart of God and reflecting that light, I mean, what a thing. There is no better thing than a full moon filling the night sky. Amen. In response to God's word, I invite you to stand together as we sing, How Great Thou Art.
You are listening to the live broadcast of a worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. You have just heard this morning's sermon entitled, It's About God, which was delivered by the Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert. The congregation will now join in singing How Great Thou Art, which is number 467 in the Presbyterian hymnal.
Thank you.
invite you to remain standing as we confess together what it is that we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join with me in prayer? Oh God, we lift our hearts to you. We open our hearts to your heart. We open our prayer not with our many petitions, our many concerns, our many anxieties. We open with simply opening ourselves to you and considering your heart, letting your heart shape who we are and how we think and how we act. And as we look to you, we see how deep and wide your heart is for this world. We see that you are a God of peace, a peace the kind that's not the absence of conflict, but the flourishing of societies and nations all around the world. We see your heart and we glance over at our world and we see the disconnect and we pray for your heart, your peace to be made manifest, for your peace to fill us as your people that we might go about the work of making this city and this society a flourishing one. We look at your heart and we see that you are a God of justice, a God who desires to set this world right, set people groups right with one another. We glance around our city and then we see then that your heart breaks for parts of our city where your heart is not fully known and lived out. We see broken school systems where children are not enabled and given the tools to read as they can and should. We see people who cannot afford the housing in this area. We see people who cannot get to jobs that would allow them to flourish and use their gifts. We see how divided this city can be along race and socioeconomics, and we pray for your justice, and we pray that your justice would fill us, your church, that we'd be people and instruments of your justice in this city. We see your heart. You are a God of peace. You are a God of justice. You are a God of patience. You are slow to anger and abounding in love, and we are so grateful because we are so far from who you have made us to be. Help us not abuse such patience, but in thanks, offer ourselves anew. We look and we see you are a God of forgiveness. We see your heart when that father runs towards the prodigal with all that he has and realize that is the love that encompasses us no matter how we come. And yet we confess, we look around our lives and we see broken places and relationships where there is not forgiveness, where there is a grudge, where there is a long-standing divide. But staring at your heart again and seeing your forgiveness, we want our hearts to be filled likewise. We want to be people of forgiveness. Empower us for just that. You are a God of healing. At your word, at your touch, bodies and souls are healed. For this we give thanks, and we lift to you every single person who is on our hearts this very moment, crying out in need of some sort of healing, and we place them before you. We give thanks that your heart is full of healing and healing power. Touch them. As we continue to stare at you and your heart, and we look to your Son, Jesus Christ, we see perhaps most fundamentally you are love. You so love this world that you died for this world. This calls us to be a people of love. Fill us with that same love that we go from here, a broken and poured out people on behalf of our neighbors, our friends, our enemies. We enfold our every prayer into the prayer now that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture passage began before the holiness of God and praise of God. He moves Isaiah right into confession and then assurance and then the word of God, whom shall I send? And then the sending, send me. And we are sent in so many ways. And one way that sending unfolds is how we steward our financial gifts. And so at this time in the service, this is part of the sending. This is part of the going and following God, is our giving. You also have communication cards in your bulletins and do invite you to fill those out. Let us know you're here. And let us know, please, if we can be given thanks for something or offering prayer about something in this time. You're invited to give as you're led.
Amen.
God, we give thanks for the wonder and goodness of your person, of your love, of your Son, Jesus Christ. We give thanks for every provision you have made known in our lives. Take these, our offerings, as a response, as a thanks. And we pray that however they are used, they would go to your glory and further the knowledge of love of you in and around this city and to the ends of this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to remain standing for our closing hymn, Here I Am, Lord. Two quick reminders. You are invited to join in the spiritual challenge this summer of memorizing the scripture that will be preached on for the coming Sunday. Your bulletins have it, Isaiah 55, 1 through 5. I would love for you to see what the Holy Spirit does as you work on those words of great promise this week. Also, down the hall, right after this service of worship in the social room, food and drink, space to catch up. I very much look forward to seeing you all there. We come to the portion of service where we are sent. Here I am, send me, Lord. And often there's something very particular and real that we're called to do, and we have those things. But I am mindful on this Sunday how often we get hunched over into our little myopic worlds and our little grudges and our little this and that. And so this week, may God grant you the eyes to stand in awe before God. In different capacity, different ways. Who knows how it all will unfold, but may God grant you eyes to stand in awe before the holiness and love and justice and goodness of our God and be disoriented and reoriented and know the freedom again of truly serving the living God. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this day and always. Amen.
the past hour, you have been listening to the worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Please join us again next Sunday through our radio ministry or in our sanctuary at 1627 Monument Avenue. Your announcer today has been Cameron Baird, and the engineer was Steve Kemp. This service streams live and can be accessed through the church's website, which is grace-covenant.org. We now return you to Christian Talk Radio on WLES.